Good morning, Maranatha. We're so glad that you're taking time out of this very, very busy Christmas season. It's always busy, and it can become stressful, and it usually does before it's over. But you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, if you were a Christian, we have the option of getting caught up in the hustle and the bustle and the pressure and the stress, or caught up in the glory, hallelujah, amen, caught up in the praise and honor of our God for what He has done when He sent Jesus into our fallen world to go to the cross in our behalf, take our punishment so we could be reconciled to Him and be saved. Oh, friend of mine, we're so glad that you're taking time in the busyness and all of the distractions, actually, from this event that's occurring during this season to focus in laser clear on who Jesus was the day He was born, and what it, not what He became, but who He was the day He was born on His way to the cross. But listen to what the scriptures have to say about that in just a moment. Amen. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, that's where we're going to talk about the four royal titles of Jesus at birth. The four royal titles of Jesus at birth. I want to make a statement here before we read this important prophecy fulfilled the day Jesus was born. Amen. Christmas Day, so many millennia ago. Silent Night, we all know that great song. It was written in 1816 as a poem, became the most famous Christian carol of all time. The third verse of this great Christmas hymn is filled with great mystery and yet great truth. I want to read that third verse of Silent Night. Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, Love's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Dottie Rambo wrote a song years ago that included the biblically accurate lyric, His steps did not begin at Bethlehem, and they did not end at Calvary. Now let's look at let me just look at a scripture preceding these four royal titles in Isaiah 9:6. Look at Micah 5 and verse 2. We'll take the time to read that. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth to me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old from everlasting. Yes, at His birth. That was not where He, that's not His beginning. And I'm going to tell you something else. The Calvary's cross was not His ending either. Literally, this means from eternity, from old, from everlasting. Literally, in the Hebrew, it would be from eternity. Praise God. No beginning, no end. The everlasting Father is part of His wonderful, wonderful names. Let's read them together. Isaiah 9:6, the four royal titles of Jesus at His birth. This is a child like no other child. He didn't become what I'm going to read to you. He was at birth, what I'm going to read to you. Listen to it. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise God. I know there's a comma after wonderful, but most scholars, if not all, actually believe wonderful and counselor go together. Wonderful counselor. Not wonderful and then counselor, but wonderful counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The angel told Mary his name shall be called Jesus, which is it was a common name in that day. If it just left it without these royal titles that are not prophesied here of who he would be at his birth, we would think he's just another baby born. You know, taking that name apart from the virgin birth, you just have another Joe or John, or in that day Jesus was common, and a lot of people were named Jesus, and it's a derivative of Joshua, Yeshua, the mighty champion of Israel, Joshua. Listen, friend of mine, but when you say the Lord Jesus Christ, and you bring in the Messiah, and you bring in the Lord, praise God, amen, all that's incorporated in these royal titles, the fullness of the Godhead bodily indwelled Christ, and it happened the day he was born. Make no mistake about it, this was no ordinary birth. This was no ordinary baby. This child, born of a virgin, was very God come in flesh, God incarnate. Listen, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise God. The prophet Isaiah, writing 700 years before he was born, prophesied that Messiah would have four titles, four names. The verse reveals four names for Jesus. Each one unlocks another aspect of his character. They teach who he is and how he can help you and me today. One of our beloved carols is cast in a form of a plaintive question. One writer says, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?" If this Christmas season, this Christmas day coming up soon, you have that question in your mind, listen to Isaiah's divinely inspired answer. These four names speak to us about wisdom, power, security, and assurance. And the first name given him is Wonderful Counselor. Literally, this title means a wonder of a counselor. It speaks of the wisdom of God, literally, and the wisdom of his plan. The word wonderful means astonishing or extraordinary. The writers of the Old Testament used it for acts of God which man cannot understand. And the word counselor means advisor or perfect ruler. In Luke chapter 2, verse 42 through 50, we see, even at 12 years old, the manifestation of this characteristic of God in this child, young man now, Jesus. It says, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem as their custom of the feast. And when they'd fulfilled the days, they returned. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were," here's that word, "astonished, wonderful counselor, at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. Then his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing.' And he said unto them, 'How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?' And they understood not the saying that he spoke unto them. But he went back with them and was subject to them." This is amazing. He knew who he was. He was aware of his mission. And yet, it wasn't time for all of that to be manifest. Praise God. Listen, he went home and humbled himself, and he came under the authority of his father and his mother in the garden, under the authority of his heavenly father, when he said, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thy will be done." Friend, Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He's therefore the perfect teacher and the ultimate counselor. He gives us insight into his working. His plans are not our plans. His ways are not our ways. I used to ask our congregation when I said his ways are not our ways. But they're farther above our ways than the heavens are above the earth. That's how high they are, beyond our comprehension without the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He's therefore the perfect teacher and ultimate counselor. Hallelujah. Listen, he will accomplish things beyond our human comprehension, and he will do it in ways we cannot fathom. The Bible said, "Now unto him in the new covenant, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think and all that we ask." That's because he is the wonderful counselor. Praise God. Listen, friend, a violent death would not be man's way to victory, but it was God's plan, and our Lord carried it out perfectly on the cross. Let me apply the truth this way. As wonderful counselor, he gives direction, perfect direction to his people. Those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but in the blazing light of day. In this tiny baby at Bethlehem, we see all the wisdom of God wrapped in swaddling clothes. What child is this? He's the wonderful counselor. Number two, what child is this? He's the mighty God. He was God incarnate, the second person of the triune God, one with the Father. Hallelujah. This is the power that is represented by this title of being God at his birth. He didn't become something. He was something the day that he was born. It is the first of all a statement of deity. A baby born in the manger is not just the Son of God. He was also, therefore, God the Son. All the fullness of God, according to the Scripture, dwelt in Jesus Christ bodily. As the ancient creeds declare, he is very God of very God. That can never be said of any human baby other than Jesus when he took on our humanity at his birth. There's something else important in this title. The world translated mighty is the Hebrew word gibbor, and it means strong one or the powerful, valiant warrior. Thus, the term mighty God is a military title. He's the God who fights battles in behalf of his people and wins those battles every single time. At the incarnation, God took the form of human flesh. That's why one of his names is Emmanuel, God with us, interpreted. Now take the first two titles together, and what do you have? As the wonderful counselor, he makes plans beyond our comprehension. And as the mighty God, he makes the plans work. Amen. He watches over his word to do what? To perform it. It's not up in the air. None of the things he has spoken or planned is up in the air, waiting to see what circumstances may occur to thwart his purposes. No, sirree. He watches over his word to perform it. All of his wonderful plans will be carried out with all of his infinite might. There is in this little baby all the strength of deity. The power of God is in those tiny fists. He has strength which is divine. The omnipotence of God is at His commands. Whatever He desires, He's able to achieve. Hath He not said it? And can He not do it? Listen, 1 Timothy 3:16 says it this way, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." When and where did that occur? It occurred on Christmas Day in a little city of bread, Bethlehem. Justified in the Spirit, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And I might just add, and coming back again for His people. Praise God. He's the mighty God. Then when we rely on Him, we're relying on God Himself. He is the mighty God because we need divine help in our battles. Satan and sin would every day defeat us. The devil would destroy us. But He is the mighty God, and He has defeated them. And this tiny baby in the manger, we see the power of God sleeping on Mary's lap. What child is this? He's the mighty God. Hallelujah. And He is also the everlasting Father. You see, in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. His character and God's character, He was one with the Father. That's why He was able to say, "When you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." Because the Father and I are one. Praise God. In the Hebrew phrase, literally, the Father of eternity. This means the purpose of His coming. Here's a key phrase. He's a Father forever. He is before, above, and beyond time. He is the possessor of eternity. He is eternally like a Father to His people. This is not a statement about the Trinity, but about the character of our Lord. All that a good Father is, Jesus is to His people, and He showed us the Heavenly Father's character because He was one with Him. Praise God. Because He's like a Father, He cares for His people. He owns eternity. He can give us eternal life. That's so important to those of us who live on this sin-cursed planet, isn't it? No one lives forever. Sooner or later, we all find our place in the graveyard. We are not immortal, but transitory. We're here today, gone tomorrow. A dead Christ will do us no good. Dying men need an undying Christ. In Jesus, we see the full expression of the Father's love for His children, and we are assured of His protection and His provision. This tiny baby, we see the love of God sleeping in a stable. Now, He didn't stay in the stable, in the manger. He didn't stay a baby. He became a full-grown man and walked into the temple at 30 years of age and opened the Scriptures where it's prophesied of Him. Amen. And He said of Himself today, this Scripture is fulfilled in your ears, that He was anointed to set the captive free, set at liberty those that are bruised, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. It's all liberating, setting the captive free, healing the brokenhearted, opening the eyes of the blind, all the liberating power of God and purpose of God. Amen. He manifested in His life, His death, and His resurrection. Praise God. And the fourth name is the most precious and most sought after part of His character, Prince of Peace. The phrase literally means the Prince whose coming brings peace. This speaks of the effect of His coming. This final tile is the climax of all that has gone before. The word prince means something in the Hebrew like general of the army. It means his high position. And the word peace speaks of his nature. This this God, this Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. Recently I've read where there was more wars raging right now than any time in this century. All over the globe there are conflicts and tribal wars and rumors of wars marking the end times. Closer to home today, there's not a day that goes by without someone being murdered in one of our cities or communities, and sometimes mass murders. We see so much killing, not just dramatized on TV, but in reality, that it no longer surprises us. And we're even getting to the point that if it doesn't affect us or ours, it doesn't even bother us. We've been immune to the violence because we live in a violent world. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that God's plan for world peace is focused on one person, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate man of peace. The Antichrist, through peace, will deceive many. He will bring a false peace, and because of a war weary world, and we're already in that condition, so we are primed, not for Jesus coming globally. The Christian community should be. Oh yes, you and I should be watching, waiting, anticipating the soon coming of Jesus. Amen. Listen, people are crying out for peace, for some sense of security before the world implodes, before there's a nuclear exchange among all of the nations with these terrible weapons, that if you're not destroyed in the initial blast, the effect of so many nuclear weapons exploding would sooner or later take its toll on every living creature on the planet. Just the clouds from so many of them obliterating the light of the sun. Listen, friend of mine, this is a world in deep trouble and in deep, deep depression because they are anticipating the future, and it's bleak and it's dark and it's dangerous. And we have the message of hope, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he didn't stay in the manger. He grew to manhood. He went in the temple, read the prophecy of what he would accomplish. He went to the cross and fulfilled that prophecy on the cross and accomplished his mission. And he is coming back for those who have come to know him as their Lord and their Savior. Praise God. In the past, his coming made peace with God for those who believe on him. In the present, those who come to him find peace in their heart when Jesus comes in. Praise God. In the future, his second coming will usher in a kingdom of peace. And before the second advent or second coming of Jesus, there's a secret coming called the rapture of the church. I know rapture's not in the Bible, neither is Trinity, but we use the term Trinity all the time to describe the triune God. Amen. And we use rapture all the time to describe the catching away. That's what it means to snatch away with great power. Listen, the methods of Christ are the messages. The methods of Christ are the methods of peace. He is, in fact, Jehovah Shalom. The men of Christ, those he has called, anointed, and appointed, are men and women of peace. The kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of peace. Amen. And the principles of Christ are principles of peace. To know him is to know blessing and happiness. To live without him is to be finally restless and miserable and lost. Listen, in this tiny baby at his birth, we see the peace of God welcomed by angels and shepherds. In the first song of Christmas was sung by all the angels of heaven at the birth of Jesus. Listen to it in Luke 2:9-14. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What child is this? He's the Prince of Peace. In this one verse that we've read, these four names are royal titles of Jesus. If you're confused, friend of mine, and I'm going to tell you, if you're without God and without hope in this world, you're filled with confusion and fear and doubt and guilt and shame and something the sociologists call anticipatory anxiety. We don't know what's coming next, but we do know it's not good unless you're looking for the return of Jesus Christ. If you're confused, to you today, this very day, He can become the Wonderful Counselor. If you're weak, the Mighty God. You say, Pastor, I can't overcome all my sins. Absolutely, I agree with you. Come to Christ, just like the song says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. He's not asking you to change yourself. He's asking you to change your mind and change your direction. Don't go deeper into the darkness. Turn around. Come to Christ. Run to Christ. All of the power of God is vested in Him. And I'm going to tell you, in Jesus' name, He'll set you free. He's anointed. He's appointed and anointed to set the captive free. What you can't do, He can do in you and through you. And He will do in Jesus' name. If you're filled with fear and trepidation, He's the everlasting Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't come to a God sitting aloof in His heaven, unconcerned about you, but you come to a God that you are able to call our Father, which art in heaven, my Father, and even Abba Father, because you are now one of His dear children. Praise God. I like to close with this. The year was 1809, and a traveler was passing through Kentucky, and that's where I'm from originally. And my wife, I married, in fact, the coal miner's daughter. Her daddy was a coal miner. My granddaddy was a coal miner. He stopped at a store and asked, Anything happen around here lately? No, nothing ever happens around here. Oh, there was a baby born out at the Lincoln cabin late last night. That's all. Just a baby at the Lincoln cabin. His name, Abraham Lincoln. You never know what may happen in the world because a baby was born. No doubt the innkeeper didn't know who he was turning away. Even Mary couldn't fully imagine what it all meant that night. But that baby born in Bethlehem has become the centerpiece of human history. We even divide time itself by His coming. They want to change that because they don't like the B.C. They don't like and the A.D. They don't like history being split in two by the coming of this Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus, this Christ. Hallelujah. What child is this? He's the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and He's the Prince of Peace. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, He's come to save you. He didn't come to lay in the manger and stay in the manger. It was the first stage of His journey to the cross. But the day that he came to earth, he was God in human flesh and form. He never ceased to be God, even when he was hanging on the cross. Even when he was hanging on the cross. For the scriptures tell us, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Who am I that my Creator, who am I that my God would take my place on the cross, bear the punishment for my sin, and grant unto me his righteousness, that I could be not only saved, but delivered from the guilt and the shame of all my sin, and be accepted by him. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, this Christmas should be a celebration of salvation to every child of God. Thank God, Jesus is indeed the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I saw a church sign, and I think it's been copied many times. It simply said, N-O, Jesus, N-O, no peace. K-N-O, Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. Hallelujah. Come to Christ today, and this Christmas season, receive him and come to know the Prince of Peace in Jesus' name.